Reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, beginning at verse number 17 through verse number 23. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I call your attention in reading to verse number 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they are Christ at his coming. Now verses 20 and 23 should hold our attention for the next few minutes. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they are Christ at his coming. I titled this lesson tonight, two short words, the harvest. The harvest. In the Old Testament, we read many, many things that we find fulfilled in the New Testament. The Old Testament is a very wonderful book. It is filled with types and shadows. The Old Testament, everything had a definite meaning to it. In the Old Testament, they had the shadow. Tonight, in the New, we have the substance. That's the difference between the Old and the New. If you have ever studied the harvest as it was conducted in the Old Testament, I mean a real harvest of going out into the fields to harvest their grain, to harvest their crops, it is a perfect type of what I intend to use in this study. It's a perfect type. Let me read from Leviticus chapter 23, verses 10 and 11. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow. After the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now notice carefully. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. Now what did they bring to the priest in the harvest? They brought the first fruits of the harvest. Not the harvest proper, but the first fruits. Now that's what God told them to do. Now he said, when you go to harvest the land, when it's time to harvest, don't go out for the harvest proper. Don't go out to get everything in at one time. To honor God and to be thankful to Him. Go out and get the first fruits of your harvest. Take it to the priest. And let the priest stand in the presence of God and wave the first fruits of the harvest so that it might be acceptable unto God. The first fruits of the harvest. Remember, the scripture said that Jesus became the first fruits. Notice carefully, Christ the first fruits. And now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, I'm going to point out something to you tonight that maybe you've never noticed it before, and then again you might have. But I want to turn to Matthew chapter 27 and verses 50 and 53. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now this proves to me beyond a doubt of the truth of the resurrection of the dead. This was all outlined by type in the Old Testament. Before they could have the harvest proper, they went out and they took a sheaf or some part of their crop, and they brought it to the priest, and he stood before the Lord, and he weighed that, and he said by so doing that the Lord would accept and bless and honor, because the Lord wants to be honored in the first fruits. Then Paul, as he takes pen in hand to write to the Corinthian church, the very first letter that he writes to the Corinthian Christians, he tells us that Christ became the first fruits of them that slept. Now when Jesus died on the cross, the scripture that I have read teaches us that the veil was rent in the temple from the top to the bottom, and the graves of the saints were open. But if I can understand what I read on down in the next two verses, they did not come out of the grave when the graves were open. They came out of the graves at his resurrection. Now, if I can understand what I read in the scripture, when he died, the graves were open. But they did not come out of the graves until he was resurrected from the dead. Now, if you'll notice that carefully, what does all of this mean? Christ became the first fruits. A question will be raised. Did not Lazarus arise from the dead? He certainly did, but not with a spiritual glorified body. Jesus became the first fruits of them that slept. He was the very first one that came out of the grave in the kind of body that he came out, because that body will never die again. He has a glorified body, a glorified body. But Lazarus, the scripture teaches us that he was dead, laid in the tomb. Jesus came and called him back to life. But did you know that Lazarus had to die again? He did not come out with a redeemed or a glorified body. But when Jesus came out of the tomb, as he became the first fruits of them that slept, on his way out, he brought some of the dead saints that had died under the law, and maybe before the law, anyway, it was in the Old Testament, and the scripture says that he brought them out of their grave. What for? That was the first fruits of the resurrection. Hallelujah. That proves to me that we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Hallelujah. There is a resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. The first fruits of them that slept. I'm going to get down into something here that ought to thrill you. It really ought to thrill you. It ought to bless you. It ought to help you to understand what I'm preaching on in Revelation. You ought to understand what I'm preaching on in Revelation. Now, the first fruits of the harvest. The first fruits. Now, that was not the harvest proper. That comes a little bit later on. They did not go out and gather in all the grain at this time. They went out and brought in the first fruits. The first fruits. And they blessed the Lord because he had prospered a good harvest that year. But later on was the harvest proper. Jesus did not call everybody from the grave when he was resurrected. He only brought forth a number. And the scripture said they appeared to many. They walked the streets of the holy city. That was the earthly Jerusalem. They walked around to prove that the resurrection was going to be a reality in time to come. That everybody, sooner or later, would be resurrected from the dead, regardless of when they died. They will be resurrected from the dead and from the grave. We believe that tonight. Can you say praise the Lord? Now let's move to the harvest proper. I'm going to answer some questions tonight. I believe I'm going to prove by Scripture who will be in the rapture. Exactly who's going to be in the rapture. And I'm going to give you chapter and verse tonight. I'm not going to give you some myth or some fad or what somebody told me or something that I read out of somebody's book. I'm going to give you what the Bible said tonight. Now let's move to the harvest proper. And I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 54. Behold, said Paul, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or those that are dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, who's going to rise up in the first resurrection? Who's going to come forth at the rapture? It's those that are in Christ. I do not teach, and neither do I believe, that the Old Testament church, which was the Old Testament saints, I do not believe that they will be in the rapture with the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is why there's so much confusion among Revelation. Most commentators on the Bible, they put all of the saints, from Adam all the way through to Calvary, they put all of the New Testament saints all in the rapture at the same time, everybody going up at the same time. Did you notice what I read in this text tonight? Those that are going to be with Christ are those who are Christ at His coming. Christ is coming not for the Old Testament church. He's coming for the New Testament church. The Old Testament saints will be taken care of later at the white throne judgment when the Lord separates the wicked dead and the righteous dead. They're not going up in the rapture. Now, the Scripture says, those that are dead in Christ, those that are dead in Christ. Now, let me ask you a simple question. If I should ask you, to each of you, to stand up and to give me your views of how you got into Christ, what would your answer be? How do you get into Christ? Here is the key that unlocks the mystery. How do you get into Christ? Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. You don't get into Christ by beginning to live a repented life and doing the best you can and just finally you just get into Christ. That's not how you get into Christ. You're baptized into Christ. That's what the Scripture said. You're baptized into Christ, the New Testament covenant, the New Testament all the way through. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews, Gentiles, bond or free, we are baptized into the church. We are born into the kingdom of God. You don't imagine yourself a Christian. You are born again Christian. You don't think yourself a Christian. Somebody says, the power of the mind is great. I admit that, but it's not great enough for you just to go along and just think yourself into the kingdom of God. You've got to be born into the kingdom of God. Now that's who's going up at the rapture. The dead in Christ should rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, anybody ought to see that. Hallelujah. Now notice, that is the harvest proper. I'm teaching this class tonight to always believe in a resurrection. Now, some teach that everybody will be raised at the same time. Everybody that died on the other side of Calvary, everybody that died on this side of Calvary, they call it a general resurrection. That every dead person will be raised at the same time. My Bible said every man in his own order. Everybody will be raised, but not at the same time. Every man in his own order. I believe in the resurrection. But there are different phases of the resurrection. Notice in John chapter 5 and verse 28. He said, marvel not at this. He said, there'll be a day when the dead in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God. Some shall come out to a resurrection of life, and others to a resurrection of damnation. Then notice Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. I'm going to read that scripture. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Speaking about the resurrection. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and contempt. Now you notice carefully what I'm telling you tonight. There is a resurrection of all the dead. All the dead will be resurrected, but all the dead will not be resurrected at the same time. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and then afterward those that are Christ at his coming. He's the first fruits. He brought proof of the reality of the resurrection when some of the dead saints arose out of the graves and they appeared to many in the holy city. Now, I know right now somebody's saying, what happened to those dead saints? You figure that one out. Now, I think I can tell you. I may do that tomorrow night. Maybe I won't. What happened to those saints? They came out and walked around, went down the streets, and they appeared unto many. How would you feel? If somebody that had been dead for 20 years, your aunt or your uncle, maybe 30, 35 years, and all at once somebody would tap on the door, and you'd walk out, and there stood Aunt Sally that you hadn't seen in 35 years. She'd been in the graveyard. How would you feel? Would you faint? Why did he do this? For a purpose. These were the first fruits of His resurrection. He brought forth fruit, not the harvest proper. The harvest proper is at the rapture, when the sound of the trump of God shall be heard, and His church will arise to meet Him. That, my friend, is the rapture. When you think of the church going up in the rapture, Jesus went up here, poured the Holy Ghost out. Now He's coming back for this Holy Ghost-filled church. And I'm going to say something else. It's going to take more than the Holy Ghost to get in the rapture. It's going to take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could cut out the name in this church, and we'd have more people to attend. You know, it's strange why people are afraid of Jesus' name. Now, that's strange. Yes. Some folks would rather be baptized in the name of Abraham than to be baptized in Jesus' name. And some had rather not be baptized in no name at all. Just put me on the water. That won't do you any good. They are teaching now just so you are baptized. It makes no difference what you say if you don't say anything, only I now baptize you. That's not the teaching of Holy Scripture. Why don't we stay in line with what the Bible said? The very first sermon that was preached on the day of Pentecost, when the church came into being, they had been filled with the Holy Ghost, and the multitudes came together and said, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Christ has proven His power of resurrection. He's proven His power because He produced the first fruits at His resurrection. Whatever man will be resurrected in his own order. Now, nobody would be left out. Nobody would be left out. Everybody that has ever been born will one day stand somewhere at the judgment. The saints of the New Testament will stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ to receive rewards. Revelation chapter 20, in the first three verses, describes the judgment of the living nations. Then we come to the white throne judgment. And it's taught everything that I've ever been able to lay my hands on to read. All of the commentators of the Bible, they put at the white throne judgment no one but the wicked dead. You know why they do that? Because they put all of the Old Testament saints in the rapture with the New Testament saints. And therefore, they don't have anybody left down here but the wicked dead. And I can never understand that. Because in describing the white throne judgment, the Bible said, and the books were open. And another book was open. And everybody's name that was not found written in the book was cast into the lake of fire. If there's nobody there but wicked dead, why did they have a book of life? Why did they search through the book? I asked a man that the other day. Well, he said, to make the sinners feel more guilty, because the Lord would search through the books and the names could not be found there. I said, that don't make common nonsense to me. Every man in his own order. We will stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, not to be condemned to go to heaven or hell. Everybody that goes up in the rapture, you've got it made. What is that? That reward that you are teaching. I just don't believe that. Well, let me tell you something. Some will have the glory of the sun, and some the glory of the stars. Somebody said, everybody's going to be the same in heaven. Well, in this sense, they will. They'll have a redeemed body. They'll be full. They'll have all they can contain. But is every vessel in your kitchen alike? Some will hold a pint, some will hold a quart, some will hold a gallon. When you fill up a quart, it's just as full as when you fill up a vessel that holds a gallon. But you've got more in the gallon vessel than you have in the vessel that holds a quart. You see, there are many crowns going to be handed out. There's a martyr's crown. If we're not martyred for Jesus Christ, we won't get that crown. But everybody's going to get a crown of righteousness that will fade not away. Whatever man in his own order. You know, I'm building up to something, and I may shock you until you won't even go to sleep till tomorrow night. You see, I'm just coming right along down the line, and I know where I'm headed, and I know where I'm going to stop. Every man in his own order. Everybody will be raised, but not at the same time. Everybody will be resurrected, but not in a general resurrection. Everybody will be judged, but everybody not at the same time. Did you know that the New Testament church, the saints that I'm preaching to tonight, did you know that we are really going through a partial judgment right now? The Scripture said judgment begins at the house of God. The Scripture said judge yourselves and you'll not be judged. But we're so prone to judge everybody else. You know what we ought to do? We ought to start judging ourselves. Judge yourselves and then you won't be judged. Hallelujah. Now, the first fruits. Christ became the first fruits of them that slept. Now, the harvest proper is when He comes at the sound of the trump of God for His saints. Now, He's going to personally come back. He's not going to send an angel after His bride. He's going to come. And it's so strange. People teaching, singing, preaching, all this goes together. But Gabriel is going to sound the trumpet. And I've heard two different types of song. One of them had Gabriel with a golden trumpet and the other one with a silver trumpet. Now, I don't know how they knew that, but I think that was one of the bean dreams they had somewhere. Gabriel blowing the trumpet for the resurrection of the saints. Scripture tells me it's going to be by the trump of God, not the trump of an angel. The trump of God. The trump of God! Now that's what the Bible said. That's all I know about it tonight. Somebody said, I'm going through the tribulation. Somebody told me that not long ago. Said, I'm going through the tribulation. I said, I don't doubt that at all. The way you're living, I said, I don't doubt that at all. I said, I'll just agree with you right there. I'm not going to argue with any saint. I'm not going to argue with a preacher. Man, if a preacher and a saint wants to go through the tribulation, help yourself, back both ears and dive in and go through. That's all I've got to tell you. But I'm just telling you how to get out of here. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you how to get out of here. Hallelujah. I'm telling you how to escape the things that's coming upon this world. Hallelujah. Now remember the three phases to the harvest of the Old Testament. Number one was the first fruits. They brought it in to the priest and he waved it to the Lord. Number two was the harvest proper. That's when they went out and really harvested in the grain. Number three, there was the time of gleaning. When they'd go back over their farmland and they'd get whatever they could glean. Now, you that's never been raised on a farm, you don't know anything about what I'm going to tell you, but years ago, when people raised a lot of cotton, they'd harvest their crops, and then later, they'd go back. They'd go over the cotton fields again, and they'd pick what they call the scattered cotton. And generally, they took that cotton, had it ginned, and they made beds out of it. That was their gleaning. They went over and they gleaned. And again, when they'd harvest the corn, they'd go back and they'd go over it again to see if they could glean something else from the stalks of corn. Listen, the first fruits was Christ and some of the dead saints. This is the proper harvest right here, the rapture of the church. Now then, I'm going on down into Revelation, and I'm going to show you in this tribulation period, which is known as Daniel's 70th week of prophecy, known as Jacob's trouble, that he's going to glean some people out of the tribulation, and they will be saved. Oh, somebody said, you're going to save somebody in the tribulation? Oh, you saved somebody before Calvary. Why can't I save somebody after the rapture of the church? You saved them over here. Why can't I save some down here? I'm going to give you the gleaning part of the harvest. You know, some people, when you say saint, that's it. Yes, sir. Brother Gamlin, I told you so because way down in here, I read something about the saints. Oh, yes, and I'm going to tell you something else about the word saint. The word saint is found in Job chapter 5 and verse 1. And that's a long time before Calvary. You know what a saint is? That's the individual that's walking in all the life they have in the particular dispensation they're living in. That's a saint. Hallelujah. Now to glean it. Let's go to Job chapter 5 and verse 1. Now here is the saint. Call now if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? That's Job chapter 5 and verse 1. And I've been told that Job was the first book of the Bible that was ever written. Job chapter 5 and verse 1. Call now if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? When you say saints in tribulation, there were saints in the book of Job, chapter 5 and verse 1. There were saints here. There were saints here. And there'll be saints over here. Now read now Revelation chapter 7. If this is not right, you're going to have a lot of explaining to do to somebody. Revelation chapter 7 in the first four verses. I'm going to read it strictly from the Bible. Revelation chapter 7 and the first four verses. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. It's been taught that the 144,000 is the bride of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. It plainly says that these were 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, and that brings a grand total of 144,000. As you read on down in the chapter, each of the tribes are named, and from each tribe will seal 12,000 people with the seal of God in their foreheads. When did that take place? After the rapture, chapter 6, the opening of the seals, in chapter 7, they were sealed. Now I turn to the 14th chapter. Now this is dealing with the same 144,000. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song with the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Now notice carefully, that is the same 144,000 that was sealed in chapter 7. Now they're caught up to God and His throne. That's the man-child that came out of Israel proper and was caught up to God and to His throne. They were sealed in chapter 7, caught up in Revelation chapter 14, and they sung a new song. That's not the church, that's not the bride, that's not the Old Testament saints, that is 144,000 Jews that had their father's name written in their forehead, that was redeemed after the church had been called out in what we know as the rapture or the catching away of the New Testament church. That's the gleaning. That's the gleaning. Now don't get your hopes up. I'm going to tell you this tonight. Anybody that has ever known God, anybody that has ever sat under the sound of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, anybody that has rejected God, had opportunity after opportunity, when the rapture takes place, you just as well to call it quits. Because if a person that is acquainted with the Holy Spirit, like we are acquainted with it, and if you cannot come to God in a service like this, you certainly will never come to God down here. Or somebody said, I'll give my life for Jesus Christ. Quit that foolishness. You won't give your life for Jesus Christ. If you won't live for Him, you will never die for Him. Don't let the devil hoodwink you any longer. You've got to get a move on yourself tonight. You and your family had better move up close to God, my friend. Now then, the gleaning. Let's go to Revelation chapter 7 again. I want you to note this carefully now. Chapter 7 and verse 9. After this, after the sealing of the 12,000 for each tribe, which was 144,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people. Now, if you will hold this in mind, I was talking to someone some time ago, and they told me that there was not but one gospel. I said, true. But there are different aspects to the one gospel. Now, in this New Testament age right here that we're preaching repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the receiving of the Holy Ghost. Now, this will be a time of preparation for a literal kingdom of God on earth. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The church is already gone. The church has fulfilled its purpose. People were saved before there was a law. People were saved under the law. People were saved before Calvary. People are saved after Calvary until the coming of Christ or His saints. Then this 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, the time of Jacob's trouble. This, my friend, the 7,000, now notice carefully, in chapter 7, the 144,000 will be sealed. Revelation chapter 7. Then we go to chapter 7 and verse 10. And cried with a loud voice. Now, let me go back to verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I didn't say that. It's right here for you to read. Revelation chapter 7. It's there. That's to people that were walking in all the light they had. This is people that realizes what's happened here now. They realize that this Antichrist has come. He's arisen to great power, glory, as far as the world is concerned. They refuse to yield their lives to Him. They refuse to worship Him. They refuse to obey the command that they should worship and praise and adore Him and give the glory that belongs to God to this man we call the Antichrist, the man of sin, the beast. They gave up their lives because they saw what had happened and they were walking in all of the light they had, and they turned their attention to God. And they came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in the temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto the fountain of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That cannot be the church, because the church went up in chapter 4. That cannot be the church. That's what all Bible scholars will agree. These are the tribulation saints. But, as I told you, don't get your hopes up. If you're in this church tonight unsaved, don't pin your hopes on this down here. Because you're living here. I said, you're living here. I'm living here. And I'm not going to sit down and fold my hands and say, God, I'm going to wait till down here and I'll get saved. You might not even last till you get down here. While the opportunity presents itself, now is the time to get right with God. Not tomorrow, next week, nor next year, nor 5 years from now. That's not the time to get right with God. It's time to get right with God tonight. Let's stand.